Movie Show. Thanks for joining me this week. And today I'm going to talk about bamboo and how it can fit into our modern lives. It's part of our Declutter Our Society or Declutter Our Modern Living series. And you might wonder, well, what does bamboo have to do with my life and all that? And I want to step back a little and just talk to you about just our current situation with what's going around in the world. And just how we need to frame some of the things that we do in our lives. And when we're at an important juncture in our lives, there's really kind of two ways we make decisions. And let me give you some examples about that. However, before I go into about making decisions, I'm going to talk to you about how we make decisions about making change. Then I'm going to talk about bamboo, its qualities of how it grows, how it fits into sustainable living, partially how it gets farmed and harvested. And if we have time, we can talk about the spiritual aspects of bamboo, how it gets tested and other properties as well as uses and where it grows and all that. So we have a bunch of material that I have collected that I've researched as well as interviewed other bamboo experts about this topic. So we are talking about that. And one of the things that I've realized about this is that it seems like somewhat of a foreign topic with Western societies. And it really has to do with what I was going to say about making decisions and making changes. It has to do with when we make a decision, are we making it because we want to move towards a change, or are we making it because we want to avoid something? And let me use an example. Right now we're in politics, we're thinking about the presidential elections, and some people, when it comes to the polls, they talk about, well, am I voting because I don't want somebody to be president, or am I voting because I want somebody else to be president? So there's really two ways of decision making. Are you trying to avoid something, or you don't want something to happen, so that's why you're doing something, or are actually you're moving towards a certain situation? Let me give you another example. And it has to do with recently somebody that I know is deciding to move to London. And as far as our purposes are concerned, it could be anywhere as far as relocating. And I asked this person, and they live in the States, and I asked this person, well, are you moving towards London because you like London, or you're moving towards London because you hate where you're living now? That's a really big difference, and maybe it's a combination of two things. It may be sometimes the pain, or even another example would be a relationship that you might want to change for whatever reason. Is it the pain of that relationship that you're avoiding, or is it a new relationship, the pleasure of that, where you're moving towards? So it could be a combination of both, and ideally we really want to move towards pleasure. We really want to, versus avoiding pain. However, if you really look at it and you look at our society, many of the decisions that we do make are because of that we're trying to avoid pain. So, and I don't want to be sadistic today and talk to you about negative things. However, I do have to use that as an example in order to understand the kind of decisions that we are making. And that's why I wanted to preface that before I talk to you about bamboo, because one of the things is that I'm very interested in feng shui in decluttering our own lives, and at this juncture in our time collectively, there's a lot of decluttering that we need to do as a society, and I haven't heard too much about decluttering of our society, really. We haven't talked sometimes we talk about it in a political sense, or sometimes we talk about it economically. But really, to kind of integrate the social, political, spiritual decluttering in our collective lives, and eventually that has to start by individual action. because the group is composed of individuals. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I'm even doing this show. I am talking to you about these things because I want you to think about these things and not just to get into this whole, follow the group mentality, and to really think about these kind of things and are we moving in the direction that we want to as a society. And so that is kind of the preface where I am thinking about in regards to what we're talking about. And so let me talk to you about change. And one of the things is that we are in such a situation right now where we are in a lot of ways in unfamiliar territory in a lot of things because of technology and globalization as well as global warming and all that. And I want to preface to you some of these things about the psychology of how we make decisions or how we don't make decisions. And although this sounds like, what does this have to do with anything, really? It sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. In point of fact, really, psychology drives how we make decisions and ultimately how we live our lives. And even though it's something that is quote-unquote unseen, our worldview is quote-unquote unseen, but it really does manifest in our three-dimensional lives very much so. And so one of the things is that I'm going to give you some of the reasons why we do or don't make decisions and why we are reluctant to change. And, of course, I'm using this as a backdrop to the bamboo discussion because a lot of these issues about not integrating very useful technologies have to do with our reluctance to change as a society for many different reasons. And let me give you some of those reasons. This was taken from the book that was written by Jared Diamond, and his book was entitled A Collapse, How Societies Choose to Fail or Succeed. And the many reasons that we do or don't make decisions is that, number one, we are in unfamiliar situations. We fall back on drawing analogies with old situations. And it kind of reminds me of what Einstein was saying about the paradigm of our problems and all that. Another thing is that psychologists have given this word about how we make decisions called the sunk cost effect. We fall reluctant to abandon a policy or abandon a stock that we invested in which we have already invested heavily. So even though something is not working, we feel like we still have to keep it because we have just spent so much money on it or something. And that is actually a human, very large reason why we don't change or we stay on the same path. A third reason is that we have admirable values to which we cling under, conditions, to where those values no longer make sense. And an example in the book entitled Collapse, is that Montanans are reluctant to solve problems caused by mining, logging, and ranching. And those three industries, which were the pillars of Montana economy, was bound up with a sense of pioneer spirit and identity. And so that was before, and so it's not the same way now as far as those three industries, and now Montanans are still reluctant to change those, solve those problems because their identity has been tied up to those industries. And I can draw similar parallels to even what we're doing, what I was saying about my talk with Bamboo and how we are attached to using timber, wood. We are attached to using pine. We're attached to using cedar and oak and all that. We're attached to that. And we got to think about if we're attached to it, is that really where we want to forge ahead if that whole process no longer makes too much sense, given that we are approaching, you know, 8 billion people in the world, and how sustainable is that entire practice, despite the fact that we do have that whole sustainable forest program? And that's actually another talk, but let's just talk about why people cling on to certain conditions in which those values no longer make sense. And so a fourth thing ties into the third one, is that our values acquired early in life are involved in our decision-making, but we never really examine or re-examine those values that we've had early in life, and we just accept them, and so we just think that that's the status quo, and that's basically how the rest of the world thinks, or something like that, and so we are reluctant to change. And so that's the backdrop in the psychology of our decision-making. So I really want to invite you to kind of open your minds up and really think about or visualize how a lot of our things that we have would be dramatically different if we did use other sources of our raw materials, because ultimately our economies and our lifestyles is dependent on the type of raw materials that we use. And specifically why I'm interested in bamboo, because it has very amazing properties. And I can talk to you about bamboo and its amazing properties. And yet at the same time, I want to tell you about the problems with our existing paradigm of the timber forest or timber wood that we do use. And let me give you a very striking not statistic, but statement that was in this book written by Jared Diamond in Collapse. And what's very disturbing about, and the reason why I'm even disturbed a lot about all of this, is that as an architect, and there is just a lot of decisions that are made that we really I've been thinking about ever since I started practicing architecture, and that has to do with the fact that all of the things that I specify in buildings have to come from the earth, and that it's a huge responsibility to be a steward of these things. And so it really kind of bothered me as far as, you know, are we using these kind of resources to the best manner possible? And so that's kind of where, and of course now we have the leadership, the LEED program, and where there's certifications for having green buildings and all that, and that's great. It's that I want to kind of add to that this whole industry that has really yet been untapped, and that has to do with the bamboo industry in the Western world. Of course, that's very much used in China because they're one of the leaders of bamboo use, as well as some Southeast, some China and South America and all that. However, I really want to see us as Western societies embrace this use of bamboo. And one of the things that is in this book entitled Collapse is that I want to tell you about the timber forest, is that more than half of the world's original forests have been cut down or heavily damaged in the last 8,000 years, yet our consumption of forest products is accelerating, with the result that more than half of those losses have occurred within the last 50 years. One reason is that the world consumption of paper has increased fivefold. And so these are the things, is that are we using our resources in a manner that we can replenish them fast enough? And the answer is really no. We are trying to get grips with it, but there's so many factors that we're working on that it's so overwhelming that we almost come into a state of denial. And that's one of the other things about psychology and decision making, is that when it's too overwhelming, we just kind of deny it. And so that's really unfortunate. However, we need to move on and really discuss something that we can get our hands on, which is the use of bamboo and what I would like to see as more use of that in a Western society. So when we come back from a break, we're going to talk about some of the qualities and the growth characteristics of bamboo. We'll be back. I'm Emmy Louie. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and we're going to talk about the qualities of bamboo, which is extremely exciting. It's constantly being used in Asia as well as South America and Africa. And my even my friend that is from Taiwan says she can't really understand why Westerners are so excited about bamboo, because basically my friend has grew up with it. And so there's just so many fascinating properties of bamboo. But I wanted to kind of introduce to you how it grows and what it is and all that, and the potential for its possibilities, and just open your mind up to those possibilities, because there's so many things that we can move towards instead of, remember I was going talking about not, you know, voting against somebody versus voting for somebody. This is voting for something. This is something that we can really get our feet wet and just get into it and really be excited about the kind of industries and the kind of lifestyle that we can lead with something where we use bamboo in a way that's both sustainable as well as modern and a way that looks cool. So let me give you a summary of what bamboo is. Bamboo is not a tree. It is a giant grass. It's often termed as vegetable steel. And let me say that again. One of the terms, a slang term used, is that it's vegetable steel, meaning that per ounce and per mass, per weight, it's just as strong as steel. And that's pretty amazing. As far as something that nature grows for, you know, by itself, that you can use right there as far as strength is concerned. So remember, again, bamboo is not a tree. It is a giant grass. Some of the species of bamboo grow 4 feet in one day. Now, you contrast that with some of the timber growth, where, you know, you might have oak and all that. It takes a long, long time for it to really grow, at least 50 years or more. And so when you look at bamboo, this is really amazing that it grows 4 feet in one day. Bamboo reaches a full height in one growth spurt in about 2 months. And when bamboo is harvested, the root system is unharmed and healthy and ready to produce more shoots, just like grass lawn. And so that is some of the summaries of bamboo. And the neat part about it is that, let's talk about the growth characteristics. It's really amazing, okay? So we talked about how it grows fast. And it's one-third faster than the fastest-growing tree. Bamboo can be short as 1 foot or grow more than 120 feet tall and have a 12-inch diameter. So you really have to think about, remember what I was saying about that we are reluctant to change because it doesn't fit in our paradigm of how we grew up. And so, which is very limiting. And so think about all of these different things. So bamboo can grow to more than 120 feet tall and have a 12-inch diameter. It is propagated via a root system. which is called rind zones, and it begins growing again immediately after harvesting. Now, how amazing is that? In other words, it is very similar to your lawn, because remember, bamboo is a grass. So once you cut your lawn, it grows back again. Now compare that to a regular oak or regular timber harvesting. Basically, after a forest is felled, it requires intensive reforestation. So the way it's harvested, the way bamboo is harvested, it's much more sustainable than regular timber wood. Now, of course, there's always going to be a role for regular wood. There always will be. There's no doubt about that. However, I'm just introducing to you the many possibilities of what we can do with bamboo. That's what I'm doing, and I'm just comparing it just to use it as a point of reference, not to say that one is bad or one is better than the other. I'm just using this as a point of reference because that's what we as Westerners understand. We understand the 2x4. We understand wood. And so that is why I am saying that. So again, let me repeat that. Bamboo is a grass that grows like the grass on your lawn. And when you cut bamboo to harvest it, it grows back again. And you know that in certain situations, the bamboo that I have. However, that's a different species when I'm talking about some of the bamboo in my backyard, which is considered somewhat like a quote-unquote weed, is that I really don't want it around because it kind of it takes over many things. Now, that's just a different species. That's one species of the many thousands of species of bamboo. So it grows very fast. Now, don't let that stop you from considering the possibilities of the bamboo, because remember, we got to think about carefully what kind of species we want to use. So that's a very complicated or yet simple situation that we're talking about that has to do with the balance in nature. Okay, and so when you harvest bamboo, you don't have to clear cut anything. You just harvest the bamboo and then it grows back again. And so entire industries don't have to basically move away, because in a forest situation, when you're felling the trees, you basically go somewhere else to log more trees. In this case, the bamboo, it's a much more sustainable process. Okay, so some other growing qualities of bamboo is that it's the quickest growing plant in the world. Isn't that amazing? And some varieties of bamboo grow more than 1 meter a day. Bamboo canes are suitable also for construction material after 5 to 8 years. And depending on when it's harvested, it can be made to for certain things. So, in fact, you can harvest bamboo shoots within a very short amount of time and eat them. And if you harvest them later, they become construction material. So that's a very fascinating thing, is that depending on the time of when you harvest it, you can apply it to different ways of using it. It's almost like as if God has said to us, this material is so fascinating that you can eat it, you can use it for basically so many things, and we'll talk more about, in fact, the uses. And so let's talk about some of the uses. Really, really fascinating stuff here. Let's hold on 1 second. So the uses is we'll talk about it's used for in construction. It's used for structure support, rebar and concrete, for paneling, for floor tile, for furniture, for bridges. Bamboo is used for scaffolding. For water and soil conservation, because it's really good when you use it, and it minimizes erosion. For example, Taiwan alone uses 80,000 tons of bamboo shoots annually. It's a projected $50 million industry. Also, bamboo is used for tissue paper as well as writing paper. Remember what I was telling you about that our demand for paper has grown since the last 50 years. And also, it's used for weapons, for writing and musical instruments. It's used for food and fuel, and bamboo is also used for medical products. So those are some of the things that we can use with bamboo, and there's just many, many more. And that information is from www.bambooliving.org. So those are some of the uses. And remember what I was saying about its hardiness? I was saying about how it's so strong, and it's funny because there are some stories that bamboo keeps on coming back. And for example, that during 1945, during the bombing of Hiroshima, everything was wiped away except a stalk of bamboo. And so it's really amazing how the bamboo has kept on staying here, and that there's so many unlimited uses that we can use about it if we just were educated and was knowledgeable about how we can use bamboo and use it in a modern and a sustainable way. And so that is the qualities in bamboo. And so let's talk about sustainability when we come back and what that means. For us, I am Emmy Louie, and we'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and today we're talking about decluttering our modern society, and we're talking about the untapped uses of bamboo and how we can integrate it with our modern society as well as our sustainable living. Let's step back and talk about what is sustainability. What is that mean? And sustainable development is, according to the 1992 Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro's definition, is that sustainable development is development that meets the needs of current generations without undermining the ability of future generations to meet their needs. And that's very important, and you have to really just kind of meditate on that. It's not just some kind of feel-good phrase. You got to really just think about that. For example, how will your grandchildren live? How will the grandchildren of your grandchildren live? Will they be inheriting something, some mess that we made? Or will they be living in a situation that we made some really major good decisions, and they're benefiting from all of those good decisions? And so those are the kind of legacies that we got to think about. And sustainability was some kind of term that we talked about a lot, say, 20 years ago. However, that model is becoming more frighteningly apparent now because it has to do with the survival of our Earth, even right now. And so Maurice Strong, the Secretary General at the Rio UN conference, said that development and environment are inextricably linked and must be nourished by a change in the means, the contents, and the use of growth. And these are the problems about development, is that we have a misuse of non-renewable resources. We have huge rates of energy consumption. We also have polluting emissions and industrial waste, which is way too toxic and not recycled. And the indifference to these consequences of modernity, whatever the cost, is basically a civic and a professional irresponsibility. And this is so important that I really have to say this again, is that when we're doing something, are we misusing non-renewable resources? Are we using things at an extravagant rate of energy consumption? Are we putting many more toxins and pollutions in the air and industrial waste in the, out that it cannot go back into the earth in a natural cycle, that it just has to sit there ready to harm somebody else? So that indifference, outright indifference, not even acknowledging it, is a consequence of modernity, whatever the cost. Meaning, we have a modern life, and are we doing whatever it takes to have a modern life, no matter what the cost is, even though it would cost our Earth and the existence of our Earth? And that is, according to Maurice Strong, is a civic and professional irresponsibility. And so, and this is, sometimes it's hard for me to say these things because we are surrounded by all these things, and so it's hard to say that what we are doing is wrong. If you look at the context of our society and where we want to move on as far as sustainability, it's hard to admit that what we're doing is not in the right direction. And but it is not in the right direction. That's why I'm doing this talk. And the reason why we know that it's not in the right direction is that can our lifestyles be mimicked throughout the world? And we are very alarmed, for example, that the average Chinese person in China is having is wanting to maintain a first world standard of living. And if everyone in China did that, or even a close number of them did that, that our increase on the planet would increase by half, because there's just so many people in China that if China does something, then it really affects the entire world. And so, you know, is it possible for many people in China to drive cars like we do? And the answer is, and we have a sense of intuition about that, is no. And so that is the context, and what we're talking about is that we have to grab on, even though we know that something in our heart is not correct, let's just move on to something that we know is sustainable. And that's why it's exciting for me to talk about bamboo. And so when it comes to the context of sustainable development, one of the things is that we have to think about two concepts of quote-unquote eco-building, because eco-building fits in to the broader picture of sustainable development and sustainability. And one of those things is that the concept of recycling, that things go back into Earth just like nature does, and the concept that we use natural materials without requiring too much industrial processing. Again, the two concepts of eco-building is that the ability for material to recycle, and again for the material to be natural and require and does not require industrial processing. And I don't want to sound like I'm lecturing to you in a sense that I'm just as good or bad as you, basically. I'm not doing anything more than what you are. Like, you're bad and I'm good or whatever. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that let us rethink about how we use these materials And a lot of this even green building came up as a result of really consumer awareness. So we are consumers and we need to say something. All of us, we are citizens and we need to say something if we don't feel something is going in the direction that we want to. We really need to speak up. We really need to think about these things. So, and unfortunately, some of these things is really hard for me to kind of contemplate. This was taken from Grow Your Own House, the book. And it says that eco-builders are suggested to reduce the use of steel, cement, aluminum, synthetic products, and reinforced concrete. I think that's kind of hard to swallow as a concept because much of our modern society is built on that. And one of the reasons why, and let me give you why this is a recommendation, okay, let me give you that, is that architects often talk about embodied energy, which is the energy required to produce a unit of building material with a certain load-bearing capacity, okay? And if you have to look at it in that that way, embodied energy, so let me give you the statistics on this. And I don't even know the units. But I'm just going to give you a comparison. I'm sorry about this. I have the units here, but I don't even know what it stands for. For example, concrete is 240. Steel is 1,500. Wood is 80, and bamboo is 30. Okay? So that means it takes much more energy to make steel than it does to make bamboo. Let me repeat that again. Concrete is 240. Steel is 1,500, wood is 80, and bamboo is 30. And that's really the same thing like when I think of like eating food, like it takes more energy to raise cattle than it takes energy to eat an apple because the apple is comes directly from the sun's energy, whereas a cattle, it has to eat all this other food and eat all other other animals and then eat grass or whatnot. So it takes more energy. It's much less efficient transfers of energy. And so that's the similar example in regards to embodied energy of materials. And that means we're just going to have to use much more energy to make these high-tech materials versus bamboo. So that's something to really ponder about. So how bamboo fits with sustainability is that the ecological problems of our world and its limited resources with the need of an ever-growing population has for more buildings, the interest in bamboo is very much justified. And so once again, what I was saying about a slang term for bamboo, which is called vegetable steel, another term for bamboo is called a giant grass. And it's one of the keys to promoting the principles of sustainable development. And its organic stem grows up to 15 meters during its first year. And so that's how the context of how we talk about sustainability and how we need to look at many other possibilities, namely bamboo, as a way to live a more sustainable life. So I'll be back and we'll talk about the farming and the harvesting of bamboo and how that works. So I'll be back. I am Emmy Louie. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back. I'm Emmy Louie, and we're talking about the harvesting and the farming of bamboo. And remember what I said earlier, that depending on the time period of bamboo, you can use it for so many different things. And so let me give you the specifics of that. If you have bamboo and you're growing it, in 30 days, you can cut the bamboo sprouts and make food for it. From 6 months to 1 year, they become baskets and woven goods because they're very pliable. And then 2 years, old bamboo can be split and the strips are woven. And then three to five years, it can become building materials. After 6 years, it becomes very sturdy. Well, actually, after 6 years, it becomes less sturdy. So there's actually a time to harvest these materials. And depending on when you harvest it, you can use it for a particular use. So that is the most amazing thing about bamboo, really, is that it can be used for so many different things. And it only takes 5 years for it to grow into the building material, whereas in regular timber, it takes up to 50 years or more to really to plant another forest. So the rate of growth is just phenomenal with bamboo. And we, in the Western world, we have yet to really utilize it. Again, I primarily think it's because of our mindset that we need to basically envision how it can fit into our modern lifestyles and how we can find it appealing to use. And I feel like we can. So, one of the specific species of bamboo that's great for building is called guadua. It's a bamboo which is dried for 2 to 3 months until 90% of the moisture is evaporated. The fascinating thing about this is that, according to my research, there's a way to harvest it, and that it has to be harvested at dawn when the moon is in its final phase. It's the same manner in which how timber was transported in Europe, in which the bamboo is harvested. It forms raft and it's floated downstream. So that's it has the same harvesting process as far as like after it gets cut, it goes into a river and all that. So the bamboo harvesting is amazing because there's no waste. It doesn't need to be stripped down of the bark. And it can, its leaves can be used as fodder. Some examples for some other countries that are doing this is that China has developed a national program to promote bamboo as a substitute for tropical woods. In India, bamboo as a substitute is used. It creates many jobs, and it spares a loss of many forests if bamboo was not used. It spares the loss of timber forests. So in Colombia, bamboo grows next to many other things. It's grown very quickly because propagated by an underground root system. So those are some of the harvesting qualities of bamboo. And let me finish up with some of the other things that have to do with the types of bamboo that we were that have yet to talk about. And remember what I was saying about that you have to distinguish the bamboo that is growing in your backyard that's a nuisance versus the kind of bamboo that is used for furniture. They're very different. All these species are different. And so the stuff that you consider as a weed in your backyard is considered a runner. It's extremely exuberant. And a runner is what it is. It just basically runs under the ground. Now, the bamboo that's used that maybe you would see in Asia or in parts of the United States, especially tropical bamboo. It's called clumpers, which they expand from the original planting, and they grow an inch per year. And tropical bamboo tend to be clumpers, as well as temperate bamboos tend to be runners. So those are some of the, so let me say that again because we want to just understand the terminology. So runners spread underground and pops up like a weed, okay, because remember just runners. And then clumpers or clumping bamboo remains in the area it is planted. Okay, so let's clarify that. So in the United States, where it can be grown is it can be grown from Virginia to Florida, from the Gulf Coast to Texas, on the West Coast, and in Puerto Rico and Hawaii. It's basically many of the warm areas. And specifically two species which are indigenous to the southeastern U.S. is the river cane and the switch cane bamboo. So, you know, when we talk about these kind of bamboos, we have to look at what is natural in that area and not necessarily introduce an alien species to an area because it just causes a lot of problems. And so we've got to open up our minds and think about how many of the things that we grow naturally in our yard, how we can use it for sustainable living instead of doing something that we grew up with, which is really not serving our needs anymore. And it's not serving the world because given that our population is just growing so much, can we really sustain the lifestyle that we live and depend on so much, and that we've got to make some changes. Okay, so that is a little summary about the runners and the clumpers of bamboo. Again, let me review what we talked about as far as where it grows. Okay, so in other countries, like bamboo grows in Brazil, and it has the greatest diversity, followed by Venezuela, Ecuador, Costa Rica, Mexico, and Peru. In Colombia, Ecuador, Brazil, and Costa Rica, bamboo plays a much more conscious role in the local economy. Okay. And Southwest Amazon, there's a huge bamboo forest over there in the Amazon forest. It's actually close to an area close to 180,000 square kilometers, which is 18 million hectares. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's the biggest natural bamboo forest in the world. And so it's really, there's tons of bamboo growing around the world, and I'm sure it's just waiting to be used because it renews itself so fast. Okay? So let's review again so what we talked about, and that will conclude our talk for today. So what did we talk about? We talked about how our lifestyles needs to change because we just got to make those decisions. And when it comes to like going to, for example, like going to the hardware store, if we buy lumber, are we buying it from a sustainable source? And of course, we want it to. And there are powers to be that are working for the sustainable lumber and all that. And at the same time, I would love to see an alternative to regular timber. I'd love to see the use of bamboo. I wish that we could see that in our lumber stores. And so people have more options. Because we just need to do that because of the type of the use that we're using so many of these resources, and bamboo would fit perfectly as far as controlling erosion and creating an economy where there's none of the clear cutting, and where you just cut the bamboo and it grows back again, and that it grows back 5 to 6 years as construction material, and you can use it within like even 30 days after planting as bamboo shoots. You can use it as food and later on for furniture, and then later on in 5 years harvest it as a construction material. And then let's say this again, bamboo is not a tree, it's a giant grass, and that the differences in bamboo are very different depending on species. And the ones that you see in your backyard may be a runner, and it's considered a weed, and it's very different from the construction material of the bamboo, which is a clumper. So you have to understand that what you're seeing in the Western world is a very limited picture of the possibilities in of bamboo, and that there are many possibilities in the world as far as using bamboo, and you use much more in Asia, South America, and Africa, and that we can use bamboo in our own modern way. And I'd love to talk about that next time. So I am Emmy Louie, and that is the summary of what we talked about in regards to bamboo. And I invite you to kind of open your eyes and really look at many different ways that we can move towards a brighter future for our own lives and our children's and our children's and children's lives. I am Emmy Louie, and I will talk to you next time. Namaste.